We see a lot of empty seats today. We know there are quite a few of our number who are vacationing, visiting family, going about. We also know that there are a few of our members who are under the weather, so to speak. Our associate minister in Puyallup, Washington, Bob Stump is his name. He was converted while a student at the University of Washington by a member who was his roommate from the Springbrook Church of Christ in Renton, Washington. He became a missionary to Slovakia for 22 years. He came back and he took over our school, the Sunset International Bible Institute Northwest. I had to get that straight. It's a lot of words. But he had visited and done some mission work in Australia, and he was there with a missionary who was speaking one night, and his wife was not able to be there for the meeting. And he mentioned to the audience there in Australia, he says, "I'm sorry my wife's not here. She's a little bit under the weather." And there was this loud gasp. In Australia, when you're under the weather, you're passed out drunk. So you need to know your audience when you use those type of idioms. But our folks are not passed out drunk, as you suppose, as it is only the third hour of the day, as the Bible would say. We're thankful for your presence, though. We're very happy to have you with us. If you're visiting, thank you for taking time out of this holiday weekend to worship God with us. Today, we're going to have a little bit of a different lesson. This lesson is geared towards our younger people, primarily, but it is certainly very applicable to those of us who are not as young anymore. We have folks who are graduating high school. We have folks who are moving into college, moving into trade schools, moving into the job market. We have others who are making the move from elementary into middle school or middle school into high school, and there are big changes that are coming. But we also have a lot of young people who not much is changing for them, except the next 3 months are going to be very different because they're not as structured as the other parts of the year. And that may be true for us as well. Maybe we're transitioning into retirement. Maybe we're transitioning into another job. Whatever it may be, I think this lesson will be worthwhile for us all. And I pray that you would open your Bibles up and join me as we study together this morning. Would you pray with me, please? Thank you, Father, so much for blessing us today. Thank you for the opportunity to worship you in spirit and truth. And thank you, Father, for the preciousness of your word. Help us to always be attuned to your words, to listen for your words, and to change our lives to conform to your word. Thank you so much, Father, for loving us enough to send your Son to be our sacrifice, to take our sins upon himself and pay that ultimate price. Help us, Father, to never lose sight of the significance of that one event in history and what it means to us in eternity. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our theme for this year is from Psalm 119, 105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. We've said it before, we're going to say it again before this year is out. The word of God shows us where we are. It's a lamp to our feet, but it also shows us where we should be going. It points us in the right direction. It's a light to our path. So here we are, and we're thinking about God's word. So today, I have some things that I want to tell you from God's word. I want to encourage you, you younger who are making changes in your life. Things are getting ready to move forward in your lives. I want to especially talk to you today, but also to the rest of us. The first thing that I want to tell you is to make sure that you never forget the lessons from your parents. Many of us have parents who loved us dearly. Some of us were raised in single parent households or may have had an abusive situation there. But even in the midst of terrible situations, there are still lessons that we can learn. In Proverbs chapter 1, verses 8 and 9, "My son, hear the instruction of your father and do not forsake the law of your mother, for they will be a graceful ornament on your head and chains about your neck." I happen to believe, whether they are God-fearing or not God-fearing parents, most parents, and there are exceptions, most parents want what's best for their children. They want their children to grow up to be productive. They want their children to grow up to be good citizens. They want their children to grow up and find someone to share their life with, to have children, and to make their own life. Most people want that. Within the community of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I like to think that we take it that extra step, that we encourage our children to develop relationship with God, that we encourage our children to pay attention to God's Word, to have peers in their lives that have similar goals where the spiritual things are concerned. So I want to tell you, and even among those of us whose parents are no longer here, there are still lessons that we remember and we still guide our lives by these things that our parents told us. Make sure that you never forget those lessons as you get older. Secondly, it's okay to stumble as you walk through this life. You're not going to be perfect. You're going to make mistakes. Some self-inflicted wounds may seem fatal to you as you go through life. But there's always another day coming. It's important that when you do fall, that you ask for forgiveness. In 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9, the Apostle John writes, "If you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness." God is not an ogre. He is not this mean, cruel, wrathful being that is waiting for you to mess up so he can ruin your day or ruin your life even. John writes, God is faithful and just to forgive our sins. That means he is at the ready. Anytime we need forgiveness, he is there desiring and waiting for that opportunity to forgive. So as you go through life, when you mess up, make sure you turn to him and ask for forgiveness. Thirdly, I want to tell you how important it is to learn to forgive others. This is something that is difficult for a lot of people. They expect people to come to them and ask for forgiveness whenever they're offended, but they have a very strong and difficult time forgiving others. Grudges, hard feelings, those things stay with us for a long time. It's unfortunate, but we need to learn to forgive others. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 32, the Apostle Paul, writing to Christians, now he's not writing to non-Christians, he's writing to Christians, and he says, "Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ forgave you." See, even as Christians, we struggle with this. We have a hard time. And it's important that when you go through life, not only do you ask for forgiveness from God when things are wrong in your life, but you also learn to forgive others. It has been said that when you forgive someone, you set a prisoner free, and that prisoner is you, because you're set free from those burdens that you have in your hard feelings towards another for something that they may or may have done. I also want to tell you, don't buy into the culture and the spirit of the day. In 1 John chapter 2, John gives this description of our world. Do not love the world or the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. Now, he is not writing to us and talking to us about the dirt under our feet. This third rock from the sun that takes about 365 and a quarter days to circumnavigate the globe. He's not talking about this planet. He's talking about the system of this world, the influence of this world, and the part of the world that is under the sway of the devil. Do not love that world or the things of that world. They may look pretty. They may seem desirous. But those things, if we latch onto and love those things, will bring about harm in our lives. The culture is going to tell you a lot of things. And in today's time, in the United States of America, in just a short few decades, we have transitioned from a predominantly Christian into a predominantly New Age influenced society. We talk about karma a lot. Karma is a New Age concept. It's not a biblical concept. As a matter of fact, Job's friends thought he was undergoing karma. He was getting what he deserved. Folks, I'm here to tell you there are some people who are not going to get what they deserve on this side. They're going to skate right through life, and it's never going to catch up with them. And there are some of us, through no fault of our own, are going to suffer difficult times. Job suffered for something that he had not done, that was not his fault. There are some people that pray to the universe. Let me tell you something. If you're praying to a created thing, you've made an idol of it. Pray to the creator, not the creature, not the created. We don't send good vibes. That's New Age. There's so many things in our culture that have become so normalized that even Christians use those terms and think about those thoughts. Let Bible things teach us in Bible ways. Don't buy into the culture and the spirit of this age. I want to tell you how important it is to be discerning as you listen to preachers, teachers, leaders, and others who say things about God's word. Now, I've made this statement a number of times since I've been here, and as long as the Lord allows me to live, I will continue to reiterate this statement. Don't believe me. Believe what God's word says. I try to always direct you to God's word and not me. Because I may unintentionally get it wrong. I may have an ulterior motive and I may be trying to mislead you. You don't know. Test it by what God's word says. In Acts chapter 17, as Paul arrives in Berea, as he's been run out of Thessalonica, he goes to the synagogue to reason from the scriptures. Luke writes for us, these were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness and searched the scriptures daily to find whether these things were so. They heard Paul and then they went and they checked it out for themselves. Because Paul is reasoning from the Old Testament scriptures that Jesus is the Christ. I could reason with you about a lot of things, but unless it matches what God's word says, don't believe me. Paul was an inspired apostle of God. Paul had the full measure of the Holy Spirit. Paul could perform miracles. He could speak by inspiration. He wrote by inspiration. He could raise the dead. He could heal the sick. He could do all of those things. And if it was considered noble for the Bereans to check behind him as he speaks the word of God by the Holy Spirit, who am I? You better check behind me. And you better check behind every single teacher, preacher, church leader to make sure and compare with what God's word says. Do not be deceived. But always, and I mean always, go with what God's word says. I want to tell you how important it is that you spend time each day talking to our Heavenly Father. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18, rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. What an amazing, compact, filled set of scripture. Rejoice always. You know, sometimes things are bad though, Mark. Yeah, they are. Sometimes your ball team loses. Sometimes a family member gets a really bad prognosis. Sometimes you don't get the job that you want. But you can still rejoice knowing that God is in heaven and God is working in your life to bring about something wonderful that you may have no idea, no concept of. Pray without ceasing. This does not mean that we walk around with our heads bowed constantly and our hands folded and our eyes closed. This means that we're in constant communication with our Father. You know, this morning when I got up, I ate breakfast. Many of you may have as well. When we get done here this morning, I'm going to have lunch. Tonight, when I go home, I'm going to have dinner. And when I get up tomorrow, I'm going to eat again. Do you know that we're always eating? That doesn't mean we've always got something in our mouth and we're chewing on it, but we're always eating. Because if you don't, you're going to die. You have to nourish your body. It's the same spiritually. There are times that we need to talk to God. We need to put him first in our lives. And we do that by opening up this avenue of prayer that Jesus has paved the way for. And we talk to him. And there may be times that you have formal prayer during your day, but there may be other times when you're just having a conversation with God in your head. Pray without ceasing. And in everything, give him thanks. There's so much to be thankful for. We talked about in our worship series how everything that we do in worship connects back to thankfulness. It's amazing how that works. Because God has given us all things. When we come to worship him, we're saying thank you with our financial gifts and in our remembrance and in these songs. And as we read his word and as we pray to him, we're thanking him over and over and over again. God has been so good and he's so kind and he's so generous. But don't just spend time talking to God. Take time to listen to your Heavenly Father. Back in Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. You know, God has given us his word. And this is one of the things that I have reiterated everywhere that I have been as an adult and been involved in the church life. If you do not open up God's word when you assemble together, God doesn't get a chance to talk. It's how he talks to us now. And no matter what language you're in, no matter what part of the world you're in, When you open up God's word, God is speaking to the hearers through that word. In our lives as individuals, we need to let God talk to us. We need to open up his word. Let him speak to us. We speak to him through prayer. He speaks to us through his word. You know what the nice thing is? He's not going to contradict himself and tell you something he hasn't told everybody else. He's going to give you what you need. Always. It may not be what you want. It may not be what you want to hear from him, but he's going to give you what you need to hear. I want to tell you how important it is to live a life that brings honor and glory to God. It's difficult sometimes to glorify God in this fleshly tent that we have. It's unfortunate what sin does to us. What does it mean to glorify God? Well, through our actions, through our words, all the things that we do, we direct people to God, or we direct people away from God. Which will it be? In Colossians chapter 3 and verse 17, and whatever you do in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through him. All that you do in word, everything that you say, all that you do in deed, everything that you do. So whether you're bumping lips or whether you're doing an action, people should see God in your life. They should know that God is present with you. I want to tell you how important it is to be faithful to Christ and his church. To be faithful to Christ and his church. In Acts chapter 20, in verse 28, Paul, talking to the elders in Ephesus, says that Jesus purchased the church with his blood. I appreciate so much the discussion we had this morning talking about the importance of blood to God in the Bible. Now take that another step further. If the most effective use of blood in the history of mankind was the blood of Jesus Christ, what does that say about what it purchased? His church. In Ephesians chapter 1, 22 and 23, and he, speaking of God the Father, placed all things under his, Jesus Christ's feet, and in all things made him head of the church, which is his body, the fullness of him, which is all in all. Everything that the church is the fullness of Jesus Christ. There are people that will tell you today that you just need Jesus, you don't need his church, you don't need his religion. If Jesus shed his blood to purchase the church, what does that say about Jesus' view of the importance of the church? It's very important. It's very important. And it's not about just showing up for an hour on Sunday morning. It's about being a part of the life of the church, being involved in the lives of the people that you see here and the ones who are vacationing or sick today. Because we're the body of Christ, as we sang a few moments ago. We're the body of Christ. It's not this building. It's us. And we've been purchased collectively by the blood of Jesus Christ. Remain faithful to Christ. Remain faithful to his church. And I want to tell you just how much God the Father and His Son Jesus Christ love you. Probably the best known verse in all the Bible, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. God so loved, it doesn't say God loved the world. It said He so loved the world. And there the world refers to the people of the world because that's who Jesus died for. We all have family. Maybe you're in a place in your life where you don't have very much family left. Maybe you're in a place in your life where it's just you and your mom or you and a sibling, but whatever your family looks like, would you give that family member for people who hate you? Would you kill your mom to save somebody that hates you? My guess is you probably wouldn't. And I wouldn't blame you. But you see, when we were His enemies, Christ died for us. When we were opposed to God by our sin, God sent Jesus to the earth to die for us. To die for those who were shaking their fist and saying, I don't need you. I'm going to live my life. I'm going to live my truth. I'm going to do whatever I want. You see, in Romans 5 and verse 8, Paul writes that God demonstrated His own love toward us. How did He demonstrate His love toward us, Paul? In that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Don't ever forget how much God loves you. No matter what difficulties come into your life, no matter how bad things may get, that will never change. Your mom and dad may stop loving you. Your wife or your husband may stop loving you. Your kids may stop loving you. Your best friends may stop loving you. But God will never, ever stop loving you. Even if all the world forsakes you, God will never forsake you. And I want to tell you how important it is to love God more than anything else. As Glenn read for us a few moments ago in Mark chapter 12, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your mind, with all of your soul, and with all of your strength. This is the first commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your mind, with all of your soul, and with all of your strength. In order to do that, we can't love our hobbies as much as we love God. We can't love our job as much as we love God. We can't love our ball team as much as we love God. We can't even love our families as much as we love God. And that doesn't mean you're supposed to love your family less than you do. It means you're supposed to love God a lot more. The person that you love more than anything, do you love God more? Only you can answer that. Love God more than anything or anybody else. Because no matter what you're transitioning to in this life, whether it's between schools, whether it's graduation, going to a job, retirement, whatever it may be, that will never fail you to love God beyond everything else. in Proverbs chapter 3. There's a beautiful discussion on guidance for the young or the young at heart. Verses 1 through 12. My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. For length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck and write them on the tablet of your heart, and so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase, so your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will overflow with new wine. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest his correction. For whom the Lord loves, he corrects, just as a father the son in whom he delights. There is great wisdom to be found in those precious words. And whether you are young or just young at heart, it's important to remember that instruction. I hope this has been worth your time and consideration today, especially those of you who are making that transition in your lives from one place to another. You see, those of us who are a little bit older, we've got less time to straighten those things out. You guys are able to start with a clean slate and spend the majority of your life doing those things. God sent Jesus to this world. John 3:17, not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He desires for you to be saved. All of the things that we just talked about pertain very richly and specifically to those who are in the covenant relationship with God. If you're not in that covenant, if you're outside of that covenant, you can't truly participate in those things in a very effective way. You need to make Jesus your Savior in believing in him as the Son of God, repenting of your sins, confessing his beautiful name, and being baptized in water for the remission of your sins. You'll be raised to walk in a new life, a forgiven life, a life where now you're clothed in Christ, your sins are forgiven, that blood has washed you whiter than snow, you're added to his beloved church, and you can walk in a new life from this day forward. Can we help you with that? Or maybe you've done those things, and maybe you found a way to become distracted in your walk with God. Come back to him this morning. If you have need of being restored, maybe you're facing a health issue, a financial issue, a personal issue, whatever it may be, can we pray with you and pray for you today? But whether you need to obey the gospel and put on Christ in baptism or receive the prayers of the church, let us come alongside you. We can't know until you let us know. And won't you do so right now as together we stand and as we sing.